You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Some people do say that I have a touch too much, maybe come on a little bit too strong. But anyhow, you are tuned in to the Second Amendment Radio Show. We like to shorten that down to 2A Radio. As far as I can tell, it is the only Monday through Friday daily nationally syndicated radio show dedicated to the Second Amendment. Now, of course, we talk about all kinds of stuff, be it Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, Fifth Amendment rights, states' Tenth Amendment rights, and how the government is getting bigger, badder, bolder, and just trying to hose us out of everything. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org is the website. All kinds of great stuff there. Archives are available on the RBN site. It's $1.33 a month. However, RBN is also standing up a second network, the Elected Radio Network, Elected Representatives Network, ERN. If anybody is interested in helping to get that off, that's all self-funded. You can donate a little bit more than the $1.33 a month, $5, $10, $20, whatever it may be. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org and check that out. We also, if you'd like to spread the message, we have generic business cards for RBN. For 100 cards, they're $10. They're full color. They're in a nice glossy finish. They're very nice. I come from a printing background, and I can tell you these are nice cards. They're not junk. They're not some laser printer card that comes off. They're very nice things. If you order those, you can also get an RBN bumper sticker and a free copy of Aaron Russo's America from Freedom to Fascism, which, if you have not seen, is an eye-opener. It is fantastic. So, to order all those things, you can call the regular business office, which is 800-724-2719, or you can mail in to Republic Broadcasting at 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302. That's Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And if at any time you'd like to call into the show, the call-in number is 800-313-9443. That's how to get a hold of me right here live. So, with all of that being said, we do have a couple of show sponsors I would like to get to. First of all, you can go to BillCarnes.com. That is all about me. I am the host of the show. I was on the first series of History Channel's Top Shot, which is a shooting-based reality competition show of sorts. I was on season one with 15 other fantastic people. You can, also on there, I have my NFA tab. It says NFA Guns with a question mark. You can click on that. I put together Class 3 NFA Trusts. And that is if you'd like to own any sort of NFA items, the National Firearms Act, be it machine guns, submachine guns, suppressors, explosive devices, destructive devices, I think they're called, and then the AOW, any other weapons. You can own those personally, or you can form a corporation, or the most leeway and the quickest way of getting about it, and the least expensive, is by far, by going through with the NFA Trust. I set those up individually for everybody. Additionally, one of our sponsors is RoninTactical.com. Now, Ronin Tactical features high-end defensive tactics types firearms instructors. And what they do is they're also certified in many of the states to teach concealed weapons permits. So what happens is you get together a group, you get a hold of RoninTactical.com, R-O-N-I-N, they send out one of their certified instructors, and you sit down and you go through the concealed weapons permits, which will get you about 30-plus states between the concealed weapons permits that you'll get wherever you live. It doesn't matter. So they will send folks out to get you set up with that. So go to RoninTactical.com. You can also go to my website, BillCarnes.com, and the show website, 2aradio.com. I have all of my archives there and information about me on both sites. So there you go. Stay tuned, folks. You're tuned in live right here with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio.
And a big, fat, happy good morning to you. Thank you for that round of applause. I appreciate it. As always, Bill Carnes with 2A Radio here in your ear. You know, there's a lot of laws around the country that people have not bothered really paying attention to. One of them, in a lot of states, is the ability to carry a handgun openly. It's called open carry. Now, a lot of these laws have been on the books forever. But just recently, just in the last year or two, and in some cases just in the past few months, different organizations, different individuals around the country have started acknowledging they have the option to walk around with a loaded gun without reprisal because it's not against the law. So they do it. And of course, what does this do? It gets the ninnies of the group, the ninnies of society, to call the police. Oh my goodness, there's a person with a gun. Or the cops themselves might see if, I don't know, maybe you're at a donut shop or something and you're packing heat. And the cops like to approach people that are carrying handguns and start asking them for ID. Now, they're not violating any law. All right? The cops come up and they ask you to produce ID to find out information about you and write down, somehow log, that you as an individual were at this place at this time with a gun. Oh, and here's the information on the gun, because I'm going to take down the serial number as well. Kind of a backdoor registration of anybody who's out there openly carrying. Well, this sort of thing is a violation of your Fourth Amendment, which is a right. People enjoy rights. The government and government agents, be it cops or IRS collectors or a judge, do not enjoy any sort of rights under the color of office. They enjoy powers and authority. Powers and authority are far lower on the food chain than rights, especially unalienable rights. So, a man who police questioned about his gun in a Starbucks says his rights were violated. So, this comes out of Spanaway, Washington. A Spanaway man said his rights were violated by Pierce County Sheriff's deputies after he walked into a Starbucks wearing a handgun and was asked for identification. Tom Brewster said he carries a pistol with him just about everywhere he goes. So when he was stopped by a Starbucks in Spanaway a couple of days ago, as he does every day, he was armed, as he is every day. He says, soon as I got in line, the sheriff's officer approached me from behind and asked, is that a gun? I'm going to need to see your ID. Well, Brewster refused to comply. He said that being asked by a sheriff's deputy simply because he was carrying a firearm was a violation of his Fourth Amendment rights. And he's exactly right. The Fourth Amendment generally protects U.S. citizens against unreasonable search and seizure. If you're not committing any crimes, they have no business asking you to identify yourself, said Brewster. Actually, if you're not suspected of committing a crime, reasonable suspicion, then they have no business asking you to identify yourself. You don't have to be in the process of committing a crime. They have to have reasonable suspicion that either you have or you're about to commit a crime. Then they can ask you to identify yourself. You just standing there going about your day in your Starbucks is on the edge, but not on the side. When it's on that edge, it leans towards you, not the cops. Brewster likened the incident to something that would happen in Nazi Germany. Bit of a stretch, but anyhow. Pierce County Sheriff's Department spokesman Ed Troyd said, in a situation like Brewster's, deputies have the right to identify anyone who poses a potential threat, which is absolutely wrong. The deputies do not have any rights whatsoever when they're performing their duties under the color of office. They have power and authority, which bow immensely to actual rights that citizens enjoy. So, Pierce County Sheriff's Department spokesman Ed Troyd is absolutely wrong. Deputies do not have any sort of right to identify who poses a threat. They have power and authority to identify someone who poses a threat, but that also does not mean that they have the power and authority to cause that person to identify themselves to the sheriff's deputies. You get it? They say, he said, deputies have the right to identify anyone who poses a potential threat. Now, identify is in, okay, that person might pose a threat. That's as much identifying as you have the power and authority to do. To go up and just start asking them for their ID is a violation of their rights. And you cannot do that, Pierce County Sheriff's Department spokesman Ed Troyd, T-R-O-Y-E-D. He says, the problem here isn't that he was carrying a gun. It's that he was uncooperative and made a big deal about it, Troyer said. Really? He was uncooperative, T-R-O-Y-E-R. I'm sorry, they had a misspelling somewhere in here. Ed Troyer. So the problem was that he was uncooperative and making a big deal about it? Well, let's find out why your deputy actually went in and began speaking to this man. It's because he was carrying a gun. So the problem is that he was carrying a gun and that your sheriff's deputy didn't know where their power and authority was vested and where it stopped, where they did not have the power and authority to continue. That's where the problem is. Of course, Troyer says his rights weren't violated. We have the right as police to ask questions and to make sure the public's safe and to make sure baristas are safe. I mean, Maurice Clemens walked into a coffee shop carrying guns. Maurice Clemens is the guy who walked in and shot up a bunch of cops in a Seattle suburb about a year ago. Now, we have the right as police to ask questions and make, you have no rights as police. And you're saying his rights weren't violated. You don't understand the rights. Now, if you're a spokesman for the police department, Ed Troyer, something tells me you probably swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the state of Washington and the Constitution of the United States of America. My question is, have you ever read either article? If you had and gone through any understanding, you'd realize that your deputy was on the verge of violating his rights. Actually, the question, show me your ID because you're carrying a gun, which is not illegal, is a violation of his rights. And you as police have no rights under the color of office. Rights are only enjoyed by individual citizens, not cops on duty, not any government official on duty, not a judge who's sitting behind the bench. Once that judge takes off his robe, gets in his car, and goes home, his rights are restored. As soon as you clock out, you have rights again. Your power and authority, when you invest it, let's say you're an off-duty cop, and you decide you're going to invest your power and authority as a cop off-duty to get involved in something that seems like a situation that needs a cop, you are, at that instant, handing your rights off and downgrading to powers and authority. People don't seem to understand this. I do. Continuing on, coincidentally, Starbucks coffee shops have become sites of contention in the issue of openly carrying firearms. Open carry advocates have gathered at Starbucks locations to exercise their right to carry guns. Starbucks has said it's okay with that, despite the fact that others have protested. We don't like guns. We want to be victims. Brewster said he plans to be back at Starbucks this weekend. He says, I was there today, I'll be there tomorrow, and probably next week. So, good for you. When police start believing that they have rights over your rights, and police rights are stronger than your birth rights, there's a real problem. There are no rights invested in cops, law enforcement, peace officers, police, whatever you want to call them, under the color of office at all. None. Have you ever heard of anyone who is a suspect in a crime getting the edge up on a cop that was trying to arrest them and somehow being tried for violating the rights of that cop. Have you ever heard of that? The answer is no. You never have heard of it. Some cops have tried to sue suspects who whipped their ass or whatever happened for violation of the cop's rights. And it hasn't been allowed to go through because the cops don't have any rights under the color of office. As a police officer, power and authority is what you get. Power and authority is vested to you from where? It's not the Constitution. It's not your sergeant. It's not your captain. It's not your police chief or sheriff. It's not the Congress of the United States. Your power and authority is vested to you by the people. And the instrument in which they vest that power and authority to you as a cop is via the Constitution of the United States and on down the line. It's the people who provide you with that power and authority. And if we think you should have more, we'll offer it to you. If we think you've got too much, we shall rescind some of it, if not all. So, with that being said, we're going to move on to another cop-involved case after the break, where a trooper outside of Boston has been suspended without pay for an incident with a gun. Stay tuned. You'll hear more about that after the break. You're tuned in live right here with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
All right, well, we read stories now and again on police misconduct and cops who break the law and cops who skate. And to have a different set of laws, they say that there's two different sets of laws, one for the rich, one for the poor. Actually, one for the rich and famous and one for everybody else. The fact is that there's really three different laws. There are for the rich and famous, can buy their way out of just about anything. I mean, look at Paris Hilton. She was just busted with a bag full of cocaine. She had blow on her. Ends up getting a fine in community service for it after spending a night in jail, just enough time to be processed. And this is her third or fourth felony conviction? Is that right? Or at least some sort of drug-related conviction? And just continually walking away, except for the one time she did, a couple of weeks, two, 3 weeks, something like that? After she only did a night or two, and then the best sheriff money can buy out of L.A. County, Lee Baca, sent her home, and then the judge recalled her back and said, no, we're not going to do that. Anyhow, and then the third law is for all of those who are in the system, be it cops, DAs, judges, they're all in the system, okay? So, a trooper in Massachusetts, this story's out of Boston, a 41-year-old Timothy Walsh, is facing charges of assault with a dangerous weapon, illegal discharge of a firearm, and drunken driving, stemming from an incident over the weekend. It might surprise you to find out that Timothy Walsh is a cop. That's right. He's a trooper. He's a state trooper facing charges. Now, that doesn't mean that he's being charged with. That means he's facing charges. That means he was arrested under and with the arrest. He was arrested for assault with a dangerous weapon, illegal discharge of a firearm, and drunken driving. But that doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to be charged with any of these. Just means he's facing the charges. All right? It's up to the DA to decide if he gets charged. So again, let's see. Walsh was allegedly drunk when he hit three parked cars early Saturday near his home in Dorchester, then pointed his gun at an off-duty officer who lives on the street. Walsh then went into his house and allegedly fired two shots with the gun. Huh. Boston police had to wrestle him to the ground because he wouldn't cooperate. No one was hurt. Now, they did not charge him with resisting arrest. If the cops had to get your ass or wrestled to the ground or mine wrestled to the ground, you know we would have been charged with resisting. We probably would have been charged with obstructing. Those chicken scratch charges that they do all the time. But this guy wasn't charged with that. He's in the system. Although he's charged, I'm sorry, although he was arrested with the bigger charges, he was not arrested on the smaller ones. When you arrest somebody for several charges, it's called stacking the charges. And in a lot of different areas with different departments, they tell you don't stack charges. Just, you know, just arrest somebody. Allow the DA to decide whether or not to stack. Don't stack the charges. Well, he had three big ones, which might be why they didn't get him for resisting or obstructing or any of those other chicken scratch charges. Walsh is an 18-year veteran of the Army and served multiple tours of duty in Afghanistan. So we don't know how long he's been a trooper. However, it sounds as though he's probably been on for maybe 5 years, I'm guessing, max. If he joined the Army at 18, got out at 36, went through training, he's been on a max 4 or 5 years, maybe. So anyhow, served multiple tours of duty in Afghanistan. I wonder if he got drunk and started shooting up the joint in Afghanistan as well. Oh, I don't think so, because they don't allow alcohol there. But who goes out on a Friday night as a cop with a gun, gets drunk, start driving home, hit, count them, three parked cars, then get out, point your gun at an off-duty cop who lives on the street, and then go into your own house and fire a couple of rounds off inside? Who does that? You know who does that? Scumbags. Scumbags do that. Really. Just scumbags who can't handle their alcohol and certainly should never be around guns. That's who does that. This guy is entrusted with a job in public safety? Seriously? He's just demonstrated that he couldn't possibly handle that. He's demonstrated he can't possibly be trusted with public safety and a firearm. He cannot be allowed to have a gun and alcohol in his life. He just demonstrated that. But something tells me he will probably, considering that he's in Massachusetts, probably get a slap on the wrist, probably, I don't know, maybe a little community service, but at the job, I'm sure he'll keep his job. Some sort of sanctions. He'll be censured somehow. Some sort of punishment. And then he'll be back out on the street. And in a year or so from now, everything will be all well. No big deal. You're back on the job. A guy who gets drunk, takes his gun out, points it at people, and fires rounds in his own house after driving drunk and wrecking his and three of the cars. Interesting. Something tells me this guy should be operating a hot dog stand outside of Boston University. Stay tuned. More to come along this line after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
And welcome back. Now, here's another story about a cop getting out of line, this time out of the state of Maryland. And Maryland is widely regarded as a state that has cops out of control. The cities, and the state just allow cops to do all kinds of crazy stuff and protect them in courts, such as the cops can film you during a traffic stop, but you can't film the cop. That is, so they've been charging people with some sort of state wiretapping charge if you film the cops, but the cops are allowed to film you. Now, nobody's been convicted of it yet, but they have been arresting people for it and confiscating whatever they're shooting the video with, be it a cell phone camera or a video camera or whatever. So, just so you understand how things go in Maryland. Now, a Framingham, Maryland Police Department detective is facing charges. He pointed a gun at a man when the man complained that the on-duty detective was urinating on his property. Well, this sounds interesting. Let's get into it. Scott Brown, 38, of Minden. Now, not the Scott Brown, the new senator who took over Kennedy's seat in Massachusetts. This is Scott Brown of Maryland, 38, of Minden, Maryland. Scott Brown is the cop. He was indicted by Middlesex, Maryland grand jury on charges of assault with a dangerous weapon and making threats. So here's the beauty of Maryland. Things go directly to a grand jury. Now, you know that I've been crowing about in Clark County, Nevada, in Las Vegas, if cops do something wrong, like if they kill somebody, they go to a coroner's inquest, which is unofficial, but they always treat the results as official as long as they come back in favor of the cop. And the district attorney does nothing. Here, in Maryland, they go straight to a grand jury, which is exactly the way all cops should be handled in all areas, especially in Las Vegas. So, according to the Middlesex District Attorney Gerald T. Leone, on April 29th, Brown was working, but not in uniform, and was driving an unmarked car. He allegedly urinated on private property, and when the victim's wife saw the unknown vehicle parked on the property from her window, she went outside to investigate. When the alleged victim's wife went outside, she saw Brown urinating and demanding to know what he and his partner were doing on their property. Brown allegedly told her to stop looking. The cop and his partner got back in their car and started driving away. Then, the alleged victim got in a golf cart and drove towards the officer, stopping next to the car as it was pulling away. District Attorney Leone said the man asked what was going on, and Brown exchanged words with him before getting out of the car, drawing his firearm, pointing it at the man, and saying, "Move it or get shot." Now, who would you expect this out of? Pull up on somebody's property, get out of your car, start taking a leak on their property, then when they confront you, pull out a gun, point it in their face, and tell them, "Move it or get shot." Who do you expect that out of? A hoodlum. Evidently, Detective Brown is of the mindset of a hoodlum, and while on duty, and of, as far as we can tell, clear mind and thought. Now, the whole thing was allegedly captured on surveillance video. The wife called 911. Farmingham Police Internal Affairs investigated with Leone's office. Imagine that. If there was not any sort of surveillance video, what do you think would have happened? Thank you for the call. Okay, we investigated. We talked to both officers. We can't find anything to substantiate this, but we're going to have a talk with them. That's what we get, right? That's what we get. Now, you may remember, if you've listened to the show for any amount of time, it was last December 2009, we're talking 10 months ago, I did my best to arrest a Las Vegas Metro police officer who was doing what could only be described as violating the law of driving dangerously. It was basically malicious driving the way this guy was. No lights, no sirens. Speeding through intersections, changing lanes through intersections, changing lanes and cutting people off without signaling, driving straight through an intersection in a turn-only lane, just absolutely erratic behavior, okay? That's the way this cop was driving. So I logged the date, the time, the vehicle number and where we were, and I started writing letters and making phone calls. What did they say? Inevitably, they said, well, we can't find out who it was who's driving that car, because the guy that was normally supposed to be driving the car, the guy that the car is assigned to, didn't work that night. And we don't have a sign-out sheet that has anybody's information on it. Well, when they started off with that garbage, they didn't know I had been a cop. And I told them, well, let me help you out here. First of all, you guys don't have assigned black and whites to cops. So there's nobody that was assigned to that car. It is a utility vehicle. And nobody is able to get keys from the key room without signing the car out and accepting two sets of keys. On top of that, when they get into the car, they have to log on with their computer. All you have to do is get that particular computer's ID and trace it back to the information that you keep forever on who was logged on to that computer at that time. So check it out. It's all right there. Plus, when he finally stopped the car, he stopped it with another cop. So, there's a lot of different ways to find out who was driving. Who went out to lunch at that time? Who was on that computer? Who signed it out? There's three different ways to find out. And if you start investigating every squad who was in that area, the squad that was in that area, and start asking who was at that Taco Bell at that time, you can find out who else was signed out there. There's four ways to find out who was driving that car. Don't tell me you can't find it out. If you wanted to find it out, you would. They told me, oh, we looked. So my response to, at this time now, the lieutenant of internal affairs, who was giving me the shine job, I told him, you know, if I had called and said, I saw that same vehicle at a different location doing what could only be described as dumping a body out of the trunk. That's what I could see from my vantage point. A body wrapped in a carpet or a bag. You would have absolutely found out who was driving that car. The reason you don't want to find out who's driving the car now is I'm going to perform a citizen's arrest on that cop via a citation for reckless driving. And you just don't want to have a standard set. That's why you're shining me off. And I said, on top of that, you're lying under the color of office, which, running the Internal Affairs Division, you know that if a cop lies to you in an internal investigation, that's grounds for being fired. And yet here you are, the lieutenant of the very division that can fire people for lying, is lying to me. And that's the way the conversation went. Interesting. I bring all that up because here in Framingham, had they not had the surveillance video of this detective peeing on these people's property and then getting out of his car, pulling a gun and telling him, move it or get shot, I'm sure they would have gotten off. That's just, you know, why would a cop ever do that? Guys, I've got to tell you, I've said it before, I will say it one more time. A whole bunch of cops, I would venture to say at least half of the cops, if not more of the cops, who are on the street, especially in the bigger city departments, if they were not wearing a badge, they'd be locked up for having committed some sort of crime and being convicted of it. There's a fine line between a lot of cops and the criminals that they chase. A fine line. And oftentimes that line is too thin and they cross over it. Here's a new type of story. Here's a bank which is encouraging the Second Amendment. Any would-be robbers looking to walk into a bank in Chapel Hill had best think twice. There's a new sign in town. About a month ago, Chapel Hill Bank President Edward Smith looked at a sign on the front door prohibiting concealed weapons from his business and decided to make a policy change. License to carry a handgun? Come on in and bring your weapon. The sign now prominently displayed on the bank's front door says, lawful concealed carry permitted on these premises. Management recognizes the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution as an inalienable right of all citizens. We therefore support and encourage the carrying of licensed concealed weapons. Kind of a sleight of hand job there. Because if you recognize inalienable rights, you wouldn't have to be licensed, and the gun wouldn't have to be concealed. However, they're making a concession. I like it. They're on the right path. Let's put it like that. Not exactly where it should be, but they're on the right path. Smith said he made the policy change to send a warning to potential robbers and also to express support to America's right to bear arms. We had the sign on the window, the red circle with the pistol inside and a line through it. And I started thinking, we've got this no gun sign up, and the guy, the robber, can come in and do what he wants. But if you've got a policy allowing handguns, he won't know how many people are going to be in here carrying a concealed weapon. There may be some little old lady who's mad at the government, and she'd love to use it. Interesting reason why she'd be mad at the government, and she'd be willing to use it. So this guy's on the right track. He is recognizing that gun-free zones are victim-filled zones, where only the armed guy, only the guy with the gun, is the guy who's going to be the ruler of that situation. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. In the land of the unarmed, the armed man is king. Remember that. Because when you go into this bank and it says no guns on it, that's open territory for a robber or robbers, plural. Now, you see, hey, we're happy to have guns in here. That place will never get robbed again. It just won't. Because robbers are looking for money, and they're looking to get away. They are not looking to commit murder, and they are certainly not looking to get shot or killed themselves in the process of their end goal of getting money and getting away. So, good job. The bank has been robbed twice in the last 3 years, including just this last March, when a Western attired man walked in, ordered bank employees to fill a canvas bag with money, and then fled in a pickup truck. The man, who did not brandish a weapon, has not been caught. Really. He robbed a bank without a gun. You know why? Because that's what banks train their people to do. If someone says put the money in the bag, put the money in the bag. Why is that? Because the federal government insures the deposits. Right. Where does the federal government get that money? Through different taxes and levies. So you and I inevitably are going to end up seeing it paid for out of the public funds. The sign has made Chapel Hill Bank and Smith somewhat of an internet sensation. Photos of the sign have made their way around the world, and Smith has even been interviewed by the National Rifle Association's radio network. He's also been contacted by other media outlets wanting to do stories. It's kind of gotten a life of its own, he said. Expressions of support have far outnumbered criticism. Smith's been contacted by officials from larger banks considering to take similar action, and has received emails in support from across the U.S. and even the countries of England, Canada, and Germany. I haven't gotten away from Chicago or California, which doesn't surprise me. I haven't gotten any from Chicago or California, which doesn't surprise me, Smith said with a laugh. We did get a real nice email from an 88-year-old World War II veteran who said it's about time somebody stood up in this country. The NRA has even invited him to speak at an upcoming convention, but Smith said, I'm still deciding on that. Smith said he's only received one negative email from, guess what, an anonymous sender. That's right. When I would get lousy emails sent to me because somebody didn't like me on Top Shot, well over half the time they were anonymous. That's right, because people won't back up their words with their name. So one negative email from an anonymous sender. What a pathetic pansy. If you don't have the balls to stand up and say what's on your mind and say, I'm the one who said it, then don't say it at all. In my eyes, you don't have the right to speak if you're not going to back it up. I have a radio show, for God's sake. You can listen to me from any place on planet Earth if you have an internet connection, not just coast to coast in the U.S. and some affiliates in Canada. All right? I'm not afraid to get out there and say what's on my mind. Why would you be an anonymous emailer and then do this little sniping? Oh, blah, 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 leave. I'm nobody. You can't find me. You know what really bothers me? Tell you what really bothers me. When somebody says something under their breath, loud enough for you to get a bit of an earful on it, but you didn't quite hear everything, you turn around and say, excuse me, what did you say? Oh, nothing. Really. You had the nuts to say it under your breath with me in the room, but you don't have the nuts to say it to me while I am paying attention. That's something that should just get the average person punched square in the mouth. Continuing with the story, the policy change has also brought Chapel Hill Bank a handful of new customers and compliments from people outside Washington County that they'd bank there if they lived there. Smith says, I tell them that we're a full-service bank and we're on the internet. They can bank online. Well, I wish I knew what state this was. Let's see, Chapel Hill Bank, Washington County, Chapel Hill, wherever. I don't know what state this is. This was emailed to me. I would like to know. If anybody has any information on that, shoot me an email, bill@2aradio.com. I'd like to know a little bit more about where this place is. These guys have got it right. Stay tuned. There's plenty more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check, which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
And welcome back. You know, I've got it. That, by the way, that bank, that Chapel Hill Bank, is in Texas, I was told during the break. So thank you very much for that information, Josh. We are in Texas. Of course, I love the great state of Texas. I could see myself living in Texas. I really love it there. Great place. Folks, I want to encourage you to spend your money where your money is welcome. For instance, I don't go into places that don't allow me to carry guns. I just don't. Now, I live in the small town of Pahrump, Nevada, in Nye County, which is, we are about 45 miles northwest of Las Vegas, 50 miles or so northwest of Las Vegas. A small little mountain pass between the two of us. And there are, let me see here. There are probably five reasonable sized casinos in town. Three of them don't mind if you carry a gun. Two do. I don't ever go into the other two. I just don't. I refuse to. And a couple of them say, one of them actually says, you know, we're okay with you carrying a gun as long as it's concealed. Well, I've only ever been stopped one time carrying open in there, and I happen to be, I was an instructor at the time wearing my instructor's uniform. So the guy stopped me. So, yeah, we talked with the guys out there, and we have a longstanding agreement for you guys not to come in here wearing your uniform and carrying your gun. And I told him, I said, well, I've been there longer than you've been here. We established that. And, I'm unaware of this long-standing agreement. Now, since I've been there 2 years longer than you've been here, where do you get that there's been any sort of an agreement at all? So, anyhow, as it turns out, I just let him know. I was on my way out of the casino anyhow with several other people. Everybody else was packing. I was the only one in uniform. I was the only one carrying exposed. Everybody else was not in uniform. They were carrying concealed. All of them also instructors. It's just that they happen to be taking a higher-end class that I happen to be teaching that weekend. And I looked at the guy and I said, you know, I just want to let you know something. If you don't post it, you don't put it out there, then it's not illegal. So I'm leaving. We're done anyhow. But I've got to tell you, right now at this moment, me and everybody you're looking at in this group, we're all armed. And you have never been better protected in your entire life than you are right now at this very moment. And the second we leave here, your own level of personal security plummets to depths that you just don't seem to understand, considering the company that you're in. And we left. And that's exactly what happened to his personal safety. It dropped because we were not there armed, trained, and prepared and tuned up to be able to protect him or anybody else that was there. Not that we were looking to go protect everybody, but we have the ability to. I suggest you spend money in places that allow you to bring guns in, because that's where the money should be spent. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The two-way radio show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2ARadio.com. I will not.